about half of this section that we've just read, we see Ezra's lineage pointed out. And we go through some names that we don't really recognize, ones that we don't remember, until all of a sudden we come upon some names that we start to remember, and we say, oh, this is a person, a great, great, however many greats, grandson of Aaron, the high priest. Now, Ezra, of course, had very little to do with his own lineage, just like you and me, right? You do not control who your parents are, and just like all of us, we can look back over the generations and say, well, this is something that I just inherited, who I am, and these things have been passed down to me. Who my great-great-great-grandparents married and the children that they had is something entirely beyond my control. Here is Ezra, a priest from birth, but not by his own design or choice, but something that he was prepared in. Verse 6, after telling us about his lineage, we see that Ezra was prepared to be a blessing in that he was also gifted as a skilled scribe in the law of Moses. God had not only given him a certain lineage, but God had given him particular gifts, and he had skill in understanding and in applying and the proclamation of the Word of God. We also see that Ezra was prepared to be a blessing, verses 6 and 7, in that he had a certain winsomeness, a certain leadership aspect to who he was. He asks the king for some things. He asks the king about this journey, and the next chapters are going to explore this more. And the king grants those requests. He also not only is winsome enough to get the king on board, but also other people are willing to follow him to join up with this plan for this second return, as it were, to Jerusalem as well. And then we see in verse 10, perhaps most noteworthy, that Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach it. And so this is a man who was prepared, and he was prepared to be a blessing to the people of God. And we can stop right here in the story, even as we think about this preparation that Ezra experienced, to reflect on the fact that being a blessing is not just something that happens. It's not just something that comes out of the midst of nowhere. There's a certain preparation that goes into a person being a blessing. There's a certain amount of training. There are certain skills that are required. You have to have not only skills to do things, but an eye to see where those skills will be helpful, where they will be necessary. There has to be a desire to want to be a blessing. And so there has to be preparation in order to be a blessing. And one of the things that we need to just stop and appreciate and give thanks to God for, but also to be encouraged with, for those of you who are in this time of life, particularly for our mothers who may wonder at times, will they ever come when my children will actually be of some use and where they will have skills and the ability to be a blessing? Persevere. Persevere. You, mothers, and of course fathers too, but mothers, you are a key part of God's preparation of your children to be a blessing in the world. Sunday school teachers, you may feel that there are certain weeks that you are teaching where all that we did, it seems like, is kept people sitting in their chairs and passed out the number of M&Ms that the kids got at the end of the week. It feels that way sometimes. But God is doing bigger things. He is using your efforts to prepare. And we all need to think about how we might be useful in the preparation of people to be a blessing in the kingdom of God. Well, Ezra was a man who was prepared to be a blessing. And he had this desire to be a blessing. But we see beyond that, not only that he was prepared to be a blessing, but also that Ezra came to be a blessing. This is easy to overlook in the text, but we're actually told three times in the text, so it's a point of emphasis, verse 6, verse 8, and verse 9, that he came up from Babylon, that he came to Jerusalem, that he came with this group up to Jerusalem according to the good hand of his God upon him. Ezra not only had certain skills and abilities, but he put them into action. He came in order to be a blessing. Now we might ask, well, why didn't Ezra come earlier? Why didn't his people come up when Zerubbabel and Shealtiel came in the first wave of returnees? We don't know. We simply don't know. But what we do know is that God had prepared Ezra for such a time as this. And we also know that Ezra comes at his own request. He's not banished by the king. He's not told by the king, you're such a nuisance around Babylon. Go back to your own town, please. No, Ezra approaches the king at his own desire, at his own willingness to do this. And so he comes willingly to be a blessing. Now, the particulars of that blessing we see in verses 6 and 10 were that he came with a desire and a willingness to teach the law of God. He was a skilled scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. Notice that. Ezra comes to be a blessing, but coming to be a blessing does not mean that he's a free agent. It does not mean that he is free to come up with whatever message he wants to proclaim. He has a message given to him by the Lord. He's skilled, verse 10, in the law of God. And so he comes to teach those statutes, those ordinances that the Lord had given him. Ezra has a role to play. And his particular blessing, and we'll see this in coming chapters, is, as we know from our Israelite history, there can be a temple of God in the land, but having a temple in the land does not mean you get to stay in God's land. In fact, that was one of the things that the prophet Jeremiah preached about before the exile. All these people who took confidence, who patted themselves on the back, saying, nothing bad can happen to Jerusalem because we have the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. But the exile had clearly taught that you can have a temple of the Lord in the middle of your country, and that having the temple of the Lord is not some magic good luck charm that will make everything go well. Having the Ark of the Covenant and marching into battle against the Philistines doesn't mean that you'll win that battle, as has been illustrated in the scripture as well. Instead, for the people to remain in the land, they not only needed a temple, but they needed the law of God taught to them so that they might live it and do it. Ezra came to be that sort of a blessing. But recognize that just because someone is prepared to be a blessing does not, by definition, make that person a blessing. And we see here with Ezra, as he came to Jerusalem, we see the incarnational aspect of being a blessing. That being a blessing requires engagement with people. That his knowledge of God's law, stuffed up in some library where he's studying away in Babylon, does not result in a blessing to the people of God. but that Ezra has to come in order to be a blessing. And so even as we think about Ezra coming to Jerusalem to be a blessing, we see that we can be prepared to be a blessing. We can have certain skills, certain abilities that we've been taught, but if we're not willing to use those to make application of them, to be a blessing to others, those gifts will in fact not be helpful. I think particularly as we go into the summer. Summer is a time when it's very easy to think that life is about me. In a few weeks, many of you will go to the Covey McCoy Conference. And it's easy to think, well, being at conference is about me being with my friends, meeting new people who I want to meet. But being a blessing requires asking, where can God use me this week? How can I be a help? The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Covey McCoy is not the only example of this, right? Vacation time. Vacation's about me. Well, wait, where do we get that in the scripture? Opportunities that God gives us for service. Where can God use me? Where can I be a help? Ezra was prepared to be a blessing, and Ezra used the opportunities that he had to be a blessing, to come to Jerusalem to be a blessing. Well, I've already alluded to it, and the reality is that we need to note, and I almost actually started the sermon at this place, Ezra is not prepared, and he's not coming to Jerusalem just on his own. Ezra does these things, as the text makes clear, because the hand of God was on him. See, the main character of the book of Ezra and the main character of verses 1 through 10 of chapter 7 is not Ezra, just as is true throughout the pages of Scripture. The main character of Ezra 7, 1 through 10 is the Lord himself. It's God. It's God who controls Ezra's genealogy. One of Ezra's grandmothers, great-grandmothers, etc., could have been a barren woman. God could have cut off the line of Aaron. Certainly, Aaron's line had committed significant enough sins to be cut off from their priestly service. But God, in his grace and mercy, preserved this line and continued to use it and to raise up Ezra. Verse 6, where did Ezra get the skill to be a scribe in the law of Moses that the Lord God had given? That comes from the Lord. The Lord created Ezra with certain aptitudes, with certain abilities to be a blessing. Where did Ezra, verse 7, get followers? How is it that the king was willing to grant him all his requests? Well, verse 6 is explicit, isn't it? The hand of the Lord his God was upon him. How is it that Ezra, in traveling up, didn't get sick and die along the way? Some of you also, along with me, grew up playing Oregon Trail. How is it that we don't come to the point in the text? And Ezra got dysentery and died because the hand of the Lord was on Ezra. The Lord made his trip successful. And who is it who prepared Ezra's heart? Well, we know that having a heart that loves the law of God, that wants to obey the law of God, is not something that we can just manufacture. But the Lord's hand was on the heart, on the person of Ezra. The Lord was controlling these things. And as we see, as we read Ezra 7, 1 through 10, we need to see not just the story, not just the biographical information, not just the resume of a great man, but we need to see the hand of the Lord preparing Ezra, moving Ezra so that he wants to come back, so that he wants to come to Jerusalem to be used by the Lord. The masterful hand at God is at work in this passage, orchestrating all of these things. Friday night, I was down hearing the Indianapolis Symphony Orchestra with my family. And the most striking thing to me this visit, the thing that I learned that I couldn't take my eyes off, I just kept coming back to, was not the right hand of the conductor Urbanski, but that's the hand that holds the baton, so it's occupied. Our conductor, though, uses his left hand masterfully. Now, it's taken me about 40 years to learn how to just follow a simple precenter up here. I have no idea what he's doing with his left hand, but that orchestra does. He's contorting his hand in all these different ways, and the orchestra responds to whatever it is that hand is communicating. I watched some online videos that show his face while he's conducting. And his face is communicating things. Well, if the hand of Urbanski is spectacular to watch, conducting our little local orchestra, how much greater is the hand of the Almighty God conducting the affairs of men and women, of nations, of his church around the world. And we need to look for this masterful hand of God throughout church history, preparing and sending people to be a blessing at the right points in time. One such person is John Calvin, who, even prior to being a believer, was a law student. He was trained in studying the classics. He even had a role in leading student government. And it was out of that background, out of that gifting, that God called him into a life of service to the church and of ministry. He was converted and called. But there was a coming that needed to happen. God didn't want him in his native France. And so persecution came. And he almost didn't make it out of France in the midst of that persecution. They almost caught up with him and would have put him to death. He also, one of his servants, in the midst of that trip, ran off with most of the money. So they didn't have the money to travel, but there was some money left with a different servant. And they made it into Switzerland. And he had his heart set on going to a particular place in Switzerland, but the Lord raised up William Farrell, who almost on a whim, but not a whim to the master conductor, pled with him, "Geneva needs you." And the Lord had prepared his man and placed him where he wanted him. And the rest, of course, is history. But we see other examples of that, don't we, in Scripture. Moses, prepared in Pharaoh's court, and yet sent out of that court, out of that place of comfort, out of that place of power, to go and to be the leader of God's people. King David, prepared in the highest law school to be the king. No. Prepared as a shepherd to lead the people of God. The Apostle Paul, trained as a Jewish scribe, as a rabbi, as a teacher of the law, as an expert theologian, a skill that Saul was certainly not developing in order to be of service to God, but a master hand. God had Paul right where he wanted him, preparing him, and then calling him and sending him to a life of service in the church. Watch for God's hand orchestrating both the preparation and the sending of people like Ezra. Now, Ezra here is not just a person unto himself, but Ezra actually is foreshadowing the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the things that's interesting as we look at Ezra 7, 1 through 10 is there's not a lot of shadow here. What I mean by that is in most passages of the Old Testament, there is a certain shadow of sin that hangs over it that points us forward to, even in the Old Testament, their need for Christ. Now, we by no means are arguing, and the book of Ezra is not pointing us to the fact that Ezra is a perfect man who doesn't need a redeemer. Ezra, of course, needed a redeemer. But notice how much the character and the person of Ezra parallels what the New Testament teaches us about the Lord Jesus Christ. And David Murray, in his book on finding Christ in the Old Testament, tells us that the people of the Old Testament, in certain ways, in certain gifts, in certain ways that God uses them, point us forward to the Lord Jesus Christ. That Joseph, for instance, is sent into Egypt so that through knowing that the famine's going to come can bring a worldwide deliverance. Not a true saving salvation kind of a thing, right? An eternal salvation, but in a small way, through bringing food, he is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ezra here, by being raised up for such a time as this, is a picture of Jesus Christ, of whom it is written that when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son. And of course, in the life of Jesus, in the accounts of Christ, we see that his lineage played a big role, not of the line of Aaron, but of the kingly line of the Lord of King David, of the ruling line of the tribe of Judah. Ezra, born by God's providence in Babylon. Jesus, by God's providence and control, having been predicted from of old that he would be born in Babylon, in Bethlehem. And we see the hand of God at work orchestrating these details. Ezra, a skilled scribe. And as we read about in Luke, even at the age of 12, the scribes being amazed, astonished at his wisdom, at his understanding of the law. And of course, in Matthew 7, after the Sermon on the Mount, the people were astonished at his teaching because he taught them as one having authority, not like the teachers of the law who were teaching them. Jesus came knowing the law, and not only knowing the law, but just as Ezra points forward in verse 10, Jesus came, as we sang about in Psalm 40, delighting to do the law of God. And he not only did Jesus have all these abilities, not only did he have this preparation, but of course the scripture emphasizes to us that he came. He came. That the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that this one who came then is attested to by the voice of his Father saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved Son. Hear him." and the Holy Spirit was on him. Even, in fact, in the New Testament, we find that there are references to the hand of God as a picture of the Holy Spirit resting on the Lord Jesus Christ. So Ezra's preparation, his coming and being a blessing, the hand of God resting on him and orchestrating the events of his life, leading and directing him, points us forward to a much greater Ezra who would come, who would be a much greater teacher of the law, because he was not only a teacher of the law, but a giver of the law, who would be a keeper of the law, but not only partially like Ezra, exemplary among men, but yet falling short of the glory of God like every one of us, but that Jesus would come and fully keep the law of God, would fully delight in his law. And so Ezra points us forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. God in his providence, though, and care for the church, is not done sending and using people like Ezra. And in our reflection on our own walks with the Lord, we can see how God has blessed us by sending Ezras into our lives. Jesus, of course, is the great Ezra, but the Lord is still using lesser Ezras who have been prepared and sent by him. Why? So that we can stay in the land as well. And the picture there is kind of a picture of sanctification. See, Ezra does not lead an exodus, if you will, out of bondage, but the people of God being in the land of God are still in danger of being spewed out once again. And so God raises up Ezra as a blessing to them. In a similar way, aren't you thankful that in the course of your Christian walk, that God sent folks along, folks who are skilled in the Word of God, who know the Word of God better than you do, folks who are winsome in their communication of that Word, even as Ezra was used as a leader, folks who come alongside and are able to convince us and lead us to do that which is right. People who are a good example to us. People who not only know God's law, who are winsome, but who know how to communicate it. And when they communicate it, we don't have to, in the back of our minds, say, well, if that's good for me, why isn't it good for you to do that? But people who, through their example and their willingness to do the Word of God, are able then to teach it as well. And not only then are we blessed with Ezras who have these skills and abilities, who are prepared by God in these ways, but we're blessed with Ezras who are willing to come alongside us when we need it and rebuke us at times, who are willing to come alongside us at times when we need it and be an encourager to us, and to say, keep walking with God, keep living in the land, the Lord is with you, the Lord will care for you, and to be an encouragement to us in those regards. And one of the immediate applications for you as a congregation in just the next couple weeks is going to be that each one of you as a communicant member here has an obligation, you have the opportunity, the responsibility to evaluate, is Ian Wise an Ezra? Is he someone who the Lord has prepared for the work that needs to be done at Southside? Is he prepared by God for this work? And is he able to come? Does he have a heart to be engaged with us, with the people of God? And this is what we need to pray about and evaluate. So to recap, where are we here? Well, God prepared Ezra, right? God also sent Ezra and gave Ezra a heart to come to Jerusalem to be a blessing. And that was the hand of God on Ezra to cause all this to take place. God's hand at work, God's providential control of all things. And God, in his providential control and in his preparation of Ezra, is pointing us forward to a greater Ezra who will come and do even greater Ezra-type things for you and me. But then God continues to bless the church with people like Ezra. And we need to have our eyes open to look for those types of people. But not only do we need to have our eyes open to look for Ezras, but also if we are called to be Christ-like ourselves, we need to have our hearts opened to be Ezras, to be people like Ezra. God blesses us by sending Ezras into our lives, by sending Ezras into the church. But God has other people who he wants to bless, who he's going to bless by sending you as well. Part of being made in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ is that each one of you has been created with a purpose. And we talk about the priesthood of all believers. Ezra was a priest. Ephesians 2:10, right? We were created in Christ for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So we need to ask, well, what has God prepared you to do? What has God prepared you for? And also ask yourself the question, what do I need to prepare for as well? See, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to look at your own life, at your own gifting, and say, how has God blessed me? How has God's hand been on me to prepare me, to get me ready to be used? And then we also, along with Ezra, of course, verse 10, need to not only be prepared, but to be preparing. How are you preparing your heart to seek God, to obey him? And then there are many opportunities to use these things that God's done. Some of you have taken the counseling classes, for instance, and are using those skills, your knowledge of the Word of God, to be used by God to come alongside others in times of difficulty. Use those gifts. Some of you have great gifts of encouragement. And in addition to just using those gifts to say, happy birthday to you, you need to root that encouragement in the Word of God and let people know to keep going. Keep persevering. It's hard, but you'll get there because God's grace is with you. His strength is made perfect in your weakness. You can be a blessing, even as Ezra was, simply by being a good example, by being someone who takes God's word seriously. It says, all that the Lord has spoken, I will do. And it's going to mean my life looks a little bit different. That the way that I live is a little bit challenging sometimes to people around me. But keep on obeying. God has prepared you for good works, that you should walk in them. He's conforming us and using us in the image of Jesus Christ. But brothers and sisters, the text is clear. Not only have you been prepared for good works, but you also have an incarnational responsibility as well. So it's not enough just to be prepared. It's not enough just to be able to hang on the wall behind you certain degrees. You say, I've completed Bible studies through all 66 books. Great. I've read a library full of Christian books. I've been trained in Christian hospitality. I know what it means to be a master encourager because I've taken the courses. Great. But so what? So what? Three times in this text we are told what? Ezra came. Ezra walked away from Babylon. And I don't think it was because there were better libraries and more scholarly accommodations in Jerusalem than there were in Babylon. It's certainly not because the Jerusalem Symphony Orchestra was better to listen to than the Babylon Symphony Orchestra. He walked away from that in order to serve the people of God. He came like the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I also need to have not only the skills and training, but also the heart for the work, the heart for people, the eyes to see needs, needs for encouragement, needs for exhortation, needs, places where the Word of God can be applied and used. And I have to admit that this is one place where I personally have a burden for ministers, Reformed ministers of our day. Because I think that academic training in the Reformed world is better right now, arguably, than it's ever been. But do our ministers have a heart for people and a heart to see God working in the lives of people? See, once again, this is an important aspect of Ian coming next week. See, this call is not just about the session meeting with him and reviewing his diplomas from various institutions. Do you still have the piece of paper where the presbytery ordained you, where they licensed you to receive a call? Brothers and sisters, what we need to see and who we need to be as well is people who not only have skills and abilities, but want to see those used by God to be a blessing in His kingdom. Do we evidence this heart for the work that God has, like Ezra did? So it's not just Ezra. It's not just Ian. It's not just John Calvin and Moses and David and the Apostle Paul. But the question is for you and me as well. How has God called us to be Ezras? How has He prepared you and equipped you? Where do you need to grow in being equipped? But then also, for many of us, frankly, it's just time for us to go. For us to quit our studying, so to speak, and to get active in being a blessing in the kingdom of God. But Ezra 7 doesn't just leave us, though, saying, well, it's time to get busy. But it reminds us and teaches us that not only was the hand of God on Ezra for his preparation, but also that the hand of God was on Ezra in his going. That God took this man whom he had prepared and sent him out and used him as a blessing for his people. And as we go forth seeking to serve the Lord, we too need to trust that God's hand goes with us for good as well. And that's where, arguably, as we apply this text to our hearts, our lives, the closest New Testament parallel in turning this into a command for you and me is Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe whatsoever I've commanded you. And what's it end with? And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That as we go forth, to be Ezras of our day and age, that the Lord Jesus Christ promises, I'm with you always. My hand is on you. I'm sending you with my Holy Spirit. And I'll do that even to the end of the age. May God in his grace, brothers and sisters, prepare us by his hand resting on us for the work, the life callings, the work that he has for us to do. But may his hand not then leave us, but just like Ezra, rest on us for good, to use us for blessing in his kingdom by his grace. Amen. Lord, we thank you for your work in the life of Ezra. And we thank you for the way that his life and ministry points us forward to the Lord Jesus Christ and his life and ministry, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And Lord, we thank you that you in your grace have raised up not only Ezra, but you've sent us the greater Ezra, and that you continue to bless the church even now with Ezras. Thank you, Lord, for the Ezras you've put in our lives, for people who have known your word and been skilled in teaching it, who have been a good example to us, who have been a blessing to us in the words of encouragement and also words of rebuke and of training that they've spoken to us. And Lord, we pray then also that through your grace that you would make us Ezras as well, that we would be trained in your word, that we would have hearts to obey, and then, Lord, that we would have a heart to use the training, the skill that you've given to us to be a blessing to people in the church and people outside of the church as well. Even as we ask you to do this, Lord, we are aware that this will come to nothing unless your hand is upon us for good. And so put your mighty hand on us, we pray, and use us for your purposes. In Christ's name, amen.